You have to excuse me this morning, having been unwell. I feel a bit wobbly today, so hopefully we'll get through this. So, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When Jesus spoke these words, he was echoing the words of the psalmist who wrote, "The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." And that comes from Psalm 37, verse 11. When I was researching this, I looked at all kinds of commentaries and dictionaries and all kinds of material that was available. And Ellicott's commentary explained it like this: "The quiet, unpretending, contented servant of God gets more true blessedness out of the earth and so more truly possesses it than the ungodly, though they be lords of broad acres." So let's look at this beatitude in more detail. It splits down quite nicely into two parts. So we'll break it down into each part and look at what it means. So firstly, we're going to look at blessed are the meek. But what exactly does the word meek mean? Now, the first records of this word being used in English are from the 1100s. And it's actually derived from the old Norse word, I can't say this, meaning muka, I don't know how you say it, but it means soft and mild. Now, when you call someone or something meek, you usually mean one of two things. It can be a compliment, meaning that someone remains incredibly calm, humble, and peaceful, especially in circumstances that would get most people to act in the opposite way. So an example of this would be, "The way he treated us was so meek that we trusted him completely." But perhaps more commonly today, the word meek is used to describe someone who the speaker thinks should be more assertive, i.e., they're too meek to stand up for themselves. Or, "If you keep taking such a meek approach to your career, you won't get anywhere." The American dictionary states that to be meek is to be quiet and unwilling to disagree or fight or strongly support personal ideas and opinions. In the world's eyes, meekness is usually described as someone who is weak and wimpy, a doormat. For this reason, the word meekness may be one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. But Jesus referred to himself as meek and lowly in heart. So what did he mean? I expect many of us can remember the words of this song or hymn or children's song that we used to sing in Sunday school. But the words are quite profound if you just look at them. "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Loving Jesus, gentle lamb, in thy gracious hands I am. Make me, Saviour, what thou art. Live thyself within my heart. Lamb of God, I look to thee. Thou shalt my example be. Thou art gentle, meek, and mild. Thou was once a little child. I shall then show forth thy praise. Serve thee all my happy days. Then the world shall always see Christ, the holy child, in me." So from this, we can see that to be meek is to be gentle, humble, and lowly. The word doesn't mean weak, but it's best understood as gentleness. Meekness from a Christian perspective is about faith, It's about trusting God to win the battle in the end, instead of going to extremes to win the battle on our own terms. Meekness is strength under control rather than strength seeking control. Or to put it another way, it's not just power under control, but power under God's control. Meekness is about surrendering everything to God and being completely within his will. Meekness is strength controlled by love. And this is backwards from the world's perspective. Many believe the world to be controlled by those strong and ambitious enough to take what they want. The world belongs to the rich, the dominant, the strong. But Jesus flips that around and tells us that the true inheritors of the earth are the meek. If we look in Matthew chapter 21, we there find an example where Jesus shows us true meekness. Here we find Jesus entering the temple and overturning the tables and driving out the moneylenders. He was angry at the way they were treating the house of God. Was this the act of a meek person? Maybe not as the world sees meekness, but Christ's love for people caused him to be angry at their willful stupidity and harmful self-centeredness. But because his anger was God-inspired, it was also God-controlled, and that made it an expression of true meekness. It should be said that true meekness takes courage. Every day we have to fight with ourselves to trust God's plan and his character. It's hard to be humble and patient when we can't fully understand how good will win in the end. But that's what God asks of us. So why do we think then that blessed are the meek is important? Because the meek have a strength that the world doesn't understand. And we're going to look at some examples of those this morning. That slide will stay up there, so don't worry about having to try and scribble it all down. We're going to go through each one in detail. So firstly, the meek have self-control. There are going to be days when things don't go our way. One of our Heavenly Father's greatest gifts to us is that we have the freedom to act for ourselves. We can control how we act. We don't have to yell or scream, and we don't have to retreat in fear. We don't fight, but we don't back down either. Meekness is having an opinion of what you believe is right and holding that opinion, but allowing room and respect for other people to have an opinion as well. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Have you ever tried to argue in a whisper? Yeah. I read an article by someone who explains it like this. The other night we were having a chat in bed about what life was going to look like after the baby arrived. We got to talking about finances, and for some reason the discussion quickly turned from a pleasant brainstorming session into a disagreement. The first thing that usually happens at that point is our voices start to rise, we get louder, our attitudes get meaner, and the rationale goes out the window. But at that moment, I remembered an idea that my friend had said to me, "Try arguing in whispers." As it entered my brain that night, I decided to give it a shot. Instead of raising my voice when I got upset, I started whispering. It felt very weird at first, but then I realized that the words I chose were better and more to the point, because whispering caused me to actually think about what I was saying versus how loud I could say something that I didn't really mean. Whispering provided me a fresh look at the situation and also some comedic relief, as we both realised it was something pretty silly to get upset about. So maybe, if that's the only thing you take away today, put it in your back pocket and remember. General George Patton quotes, "Never fight a battle when you won't gain anything by winning." Meekness is the ability to disagree agreeably. You can walk hand in hand without seeing eye to eye. Secondly, the meek are humble and teachable. Now, there are several scriptures that talk about being teachable, so I just want to mention a couple here. But when you go home, you may want to find others as you do your own study. And the first one's from Zephaniah 3, verses 11 to 12. "God will not work with those who are proud and haughty." And the second one is from Psalm 32, verses 8 to 9. "Meekness is developed by being teachable and following God's way." When we're humble, we're teachable. When we're teachable, we learn. Learning brings knowledge, skill, progress, and strength. Proverbs 13, verse 18 says, "Whoever heeds correction is honored." Now, none of us really like to admit it, do we? But we don't like to be corrected. It's quite humbling, isn't it? So how do we respond when somebody corrects you? Are you honest? And do you admit? Or do you immediately go into defense mode and try to justify what happened? One of the things I've learned is this. It's much easier to receive correction if we want to learn and grow. If we ever come to the place in life where we know it, where we think we know it all and have nothing more to learn, it will be very difficult for us to receive correction. Meekness involves being willing to learn from others and being able to admit when we're wrong. Thirdly, the meek are bold. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." At this point in his ministry, Timothy was experiencing great opposition to his message and to himself as a leader. Paul urged him to be bold. When we allow people to intimidate us, we neutralize our effectiveness for God. "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." This is reiterated throughout Scripture as a reminder to us that we're never alone. Moses and Joshua both relayed these words to the Israelites multiple times. But I want to look at a different example this morning. In Judges 6, we read about Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press to hide it from the Midianites who were invading the country. The Israelites would hide when they knew the Midianites were coming. And so Gideon was hiding in a wine press when the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him. He told him to save Israel from the Midianites. Gideon's response was that the Lord had abandoned them, because at that point he had no faith. The Lord told him, "Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? I will be with you and will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Now, sometime later, after Gideon had received further encouragement and confirmation, we read in chapter 7 that he agreed to God's plan, even though he still thought it was impossible. God had thinned out Gideon's troop of men from 32,000 to just 300. And then, obeying God's instructions, they surrounded the Midianite camp. Each soldier blew their trumpet and held a torch aloft, shouting, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And this confused the Midianites, who turned on each other and fled. Now, Gideon was willing to allow God to take control of the situation and showed great strength in his meekness by following God's plan. If you can easily see yourself in Gideon's weakness, if you are facing a battle with overwhelming odds, God can give you the strength you need. Gideon was surprised by what God asked him to do, but he was bold and he obeyed God. Don't be startled by the way God helps you. Just trust him, be bold, and find the courage to move ahead. 4. The meek forgive. When someone hurts our feelings, it can be hard to forgive. But if we do not, then bitterness and anger can grow and become a very heavy burden. There is a story of a man and his friend who were walking down the street. Every day, this man stopped at a newsstand to pick up a newspaper. He greeted the salesman there with graciousness, kindness, and courtesy. But the salesman was always disrespectful, gruff, and rude. He just shoved the newspaper into his hand and was basically rude to him every day. When the man and his friend left the newsstand, the friend asked him, "Are you always that nice to that salesman?" The man said, "Yes." His friend said, "Does he always respond in that rude way?" The man said, "Well, unfortunately, yes, he does." So the friend then asked him, "Then why do you treat him with such kindness, such courtesy?" And the man responded, "Because I don't want him to decide how I am going to act." Every day, you and I get to decide how we are going to act when people hurt us. Meekness is choosing to keep your strength under God's control in the way that you respond to others. It's doing the right thing, regardless of what others have done to you. Number 5, the meek say, "I'm sorry." There's not an awful lot I really want to say about this point. There might be times when we are the one who has hurt someone else's feelings. Owning up to our mistakes is not easy, but a genuine apology requires strength of character and is an important part of meekness. Number 6, the meek are confident. Those who are meek are willing to admit that they don't know everything, but they are confident in their testimony of things they do know. The famous author Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm that caught a ship off a rocky coast and threatened to drive the ship into the rocks. In the midst of the ordeal, one of the passengers disobeyed the crew's orders, got up and walked up to the deck, where he saw the ship's pilot holding the wheel unwaveringly. The pilot saw the passenger and shot him a quick smile. So the man turned around and calmly walked back down below deck. Upon returning to his seat, he smiled and told the rest of the passengers, "I have seen the face of the pilot," and he smiled. "All is well." Quite often, we're most convincing not by what we say, but how we say it. These non-verbal communication cues actually say more than our words. So when we're telling people about the Lord, the way we speak, our body language, our tone of voice has much more bearing on the message than the words themselves. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:14, "Because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." Not only had Paul been given a chance to witness to unbelievers, but other Christians gained confidence by seeing how Paul responded to his circumstances. Paul's captivity motivated the Christians to share the gospel more boldly. We need to be bold in our faith to encourage others who are less confident to also be bold. Number 7, the meek serve others. When Jesus and his disciples were gathered for the Passover, Jesus took a moment to wash his disciples' feet. He then told them, "No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The meek consider it a privilege to serve others. Now bear with me on this next point, because you might wonder where I'm going with it. If you've ever watched The Princess Bride, then you may remember a scene where Fezzik, who's played by Andre the Giant, is being told to get rid of the man in black who is following them. He's told to pick up a rock, stand behind a boulder, and when the man in black comes round the corner, hit his head with the rock. Now, Andre the Giant doesn't think this is very sportsmanlike. So when he sees the man in black, he throws the rock just ahead of him and says, "I did that on purpose. I didn't have to miss." When asked by the man in black what they should do now, he says, "We face each other as God intended, sportsmanlike. No tricks, no weapons, skill against skill alone." Andre the Giant knows that he is stronger than the man in black, but he also believes in fairness. He hates trickery and will not use his strength to overcome another person's weakness by devious means. When we serve others, many will be weaker than us, and we must be humble enough to put their needs above our own and serve them fairly, and not use our strength to advance our own goals. And lastly, number 8, the meek have the Spirit with them. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit, and we should endeavour to have the Spirit with us in everything that we do. One of Paul's famous quotes is, "Whenever I am weak, I am strong." He'd learned that the hard way. He was suffering from some kind of illness or disability that he called a thorn in the flesh, And we don't exactly know what that was. Scholars have speculated that it is an eye problem. But he asked God to remove the disability so that he could serve God more effectively. Three times he prayed, but three times God refused him. And then he heard God saying to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." When we are strong in abilities or resources, we're tempted to do God's work on our own, and that can lead to pride. When we're weak, allowing God to fill us with his power, his spirit, then we are stronger than we could ever be on our own. So now I'd like us to move on and look at the second part, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, when you think about our earth today, what it looks like, who wants it? Who wants to own our work, our earth? In its current state, it's sin-filled, broken down, falling apart, and filled with corrupt people. Any takers? Jesus was taken up the mountain by the devil and shown all the kingdoms of the earth, and he was promised everything he could see would be given to him if only he would bow down and worship Satan. Did the devil have the power to give Jesus the kingdoms of the world? He may have been lying, or he may have been implying that his power was real. Or he may have just based his offer on his temporary control and free reign over the earth in its current state. However, Satan was trying to distort Jesus' perspective by making him focus on worldly power and not on God's plans. But Jesus knew that everything belonged to God anyway and saw through the devil's proposal. See the world and worship the Lord God. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to visit Cape Town, and while I was there, I climbed up Table Mountain and saw the most fabulous views from the top. And it made me think of how Jesus must have felt when he saw the world at his feet. When you view the world from that height, you don't see the sin, the corruption, the poverty, the failure by people to look after the earth we've been given. You only see the magnificent creation of God. See the world and worship the Lord God. Jesus was saying, there is an alternative of viewing the world other than seeing it through the lens of a self-controlling superpower where it's dog-eat-dog, winner-take-all attitude. Instead of grasping and clutching, there is the way of trusting. So what is it we're inheriting? We are inheriting the promise of God. The promise that the meek shall inherit the earth is intended by the Lord to give us the strength to endure in meekness when the natural inclination would be to defend ourselves or retaliate. It's the promise of love, joy, peace. Joy that's only found in obedience to the Lord and in his word. It's the place of God's promise. Back in 2000, I was fortunate enough to be part of a worship team who put together a CD of original personal songs. And one of the songs on that CD was called The Place of My Inheritance. And these are the words of the chorus. Take me to that higher place where eagles soar above the earth. Let me see the world through your eyes, my heart captured by your word. There I run and know no weariness. I leave my sadness and my barrenness and fly with you, my hope renewed, to the place of my inheritance. This is the promise the meek are given, the promise of hope, the promise of renewed strength, the promise of God's viewpoint. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is the complete opposite to Darwin and everything he said about survival of the fittest. This is survival of the meekest. In a spiritual sense, it's having nothing, but possessing everything. Having nothing, but having Jesus. That's everything, because he is all we need. Most of the world didn't understand what Jesus offered. The zealots wanted a military Messiah that would take the kingdom by force. The Pharisees wanted a miraculous Messiah that would bring the kingdom by miracles. The Sadducees wanted a materialistic Messiah, for they didn't believe in the afterlife. All that mattered to them was the here and now. But what did Jesus say? I am a meek Messiah, and it's only those that are meek that will inherit the earth. 1 Corinthians 10:26 tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And since we are joint heirs with Christ, it stands to reason then that everything Christ has is ours, and that every promise he has made is ours to claim. Because of salvation, we one day will get to literally inherit the earth as part of God's promise concerning salvation. And that means you and me, because of our faith in Christ, because of the hope we have, God's promise is sure. There's a lovely verse in Colossians 1 verse 12 which says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. And I just want to leave you with some questions that you may be thinking of after hearing these qualities of meekness, especially self-control, boldness, and confidence. Do you feel ill-equipped for the challenges ahead of you? Remember, God the Father has qualified you. Do you feel under-resourced? God has qualified you. Do you feel unprepared? God has qualified you. Do you feel you're not talented enough? No, you are qualified. Do you feel like you're always second best? Not to our Heavenly Father. You are qualified. From before the foundation of the earth, our Father saw you and wanted you to belong. He called you. He saved you. He made you into one of his own, and he qualified you. And that makes all the difference. Today we can live fully assured of Jesus' love for us and know we are a part of his glorious inheritance. We just have to remember to be like Jesus, meek and mild and gentle in everything we do. So I just want to finish with the words of an old fable about the north wind and the sun. The north wind boasted of great strength. The sun argued that there was great power in gentleness. "We shall have a contest," said the sun. Far below, a man travelled a winding road, and he was wearing a warm winter coat. "As a test of strength," said the sun, "let's see which of us can take the coat off that man." "It will be quite simple for me to force him to remove his coat," bragged the wind. And the wind blew so hard the birds clung to the trees. The world was filled with dust and leaves. But the harder the wind blew down the road, the tighter the shivering man held onto his coat. Then the sun came out from behind a cloud. The sun warmed the air and the frosty ground. The man on the road unbuttoned his coat. The sun grew slowly brighter and brighter, and soon the man felt so hot he took off his coat and sat down in a shady spot. "How did you do that?" said the wind. "It was easy," said the sun. "I lit the day. Through gentleness, I got my way." Whatever life throws at you, whatever situation you find yourself in, always remember that gentleness and kind persuasion win where force and bluster fail. Be gentle. Be meek, be kind, and in the words of the hymn Gentle Jesus, "Then the world shall always see Christ, the Holy Child, in me." Amen.